Hey everyone, I am so excited to share this episode, this interview with Jen Swain from Burton. But before we get started, I just wanted to address this interview was completed in mid-April 2020, and quite a bit has happened since then. As individuals, we're the ones that can make a difference. So stand up, speak out, and keep trying to do things different, innovate, and push for a better world for everyone.
Hi, welcome to Pulling the Threads, a podcast dedicated to understanding the story behind our clothes. I'm your host, Jancy Quinn, and this podcast will follow my adventures in learning more about sustainable apparel and exploring how we can all have beautiful things without harm. I'm a reformed fashion addict and overshopper, but also a lifelong sewer, maker, and lover of the outdoors and our environment. A few years ago, I realized that as beautiful as fashion can make you feel, the industry can be pretty ugly for the people who make our clothes and for the planet. I'm now on a mission to learn about what it means to have eco-friendly, mindful, sustainable, or socially conscious apparel, whichever term you prefer. My goal with this podcast is that we'll learn together, share ideas, and talk about the positive changes we can all make.
So let's get started and pull the next thread.
Using our influence as a brand to, again, have an impact that's greater than ourselves, to say, as an outdoor and snow sports company, the climate crisis is directly impacting our communities.
In this episode, we're talking with Jen Swain, the head of global sustainability for Burton. I love this conversation as we tackle all things that this company is striving to do to reduce their impact and improve the quality of life for their employees, customers, and the planet. And it's a two-part episode because we had such a great conversation. I really wanted to break it up into two episodes. So the first episode is all about Burton and their initiatives, and the second part is all about Jen's career path, working in sustainability, and ways that you can personally help to reduce your impact.
Hi, I'm Jen Swain. I'm the head of sustainability for Burton.
So your title, head of sustainability at Burton, it sounds incredible, but can you tell me a little bit about what that is? Like, I know there's probably no normal day-to-day, but what are some of the things you oversee, and what does that encompass?
Yeah, sustainability at Burton really takes many forms. Our pillars of sustainability are our people, our playground, and our product. So our people really addresses, you know, our employees. So how are we ensuring that they're able to lead lifestyles that align with their values and our own, offering preferred benefits, ensuring people are taken care of during maternity and paternity, as well as things like organic garden plots at the office, in fresh, you know, kombucha on tap. We have a skate park at our headquarters to help people get outside at lunchtime. But it's also our supply chain. You know, social labor in our supply chain is incredibly important. We're accredited by the Fair Labor Association for our work in social responsibility. And so we want to ensure that we are engaging with suppliers that are really implementing fair labor practices. It's also about the communities. So things like donating used products or, you know, additional inventory to those in need, making sure it doesn't go to the landfill, but it gets in hands that truly need it. And then supporting youth through the Chill Foundation, which Jake and Donna started in 1995, helping youth to build life skills through board sports, whether that's snowboarding, skateboarding, stand-up paddleboarding. Our playground is really about how we're showing up in the world as a company. So that's things like our own operations and our events. So the US Open Snowboarding Championship that's held in Vail every year. That's been carbon neutral since 2017. And in 2020, we were aiming for zero waste. We nearly got there. But it's also how, you know, our work around warranty and repair. So doubling the amount of product that we're actually able to repair and get back into a customer's hands versus replacing with a new product. And it's also all of our work around activism and advocacy. And then our product really looks at the materials and the manufacturing processes that are going into production across all of our product lines, to ensure that we're moving toward environmentally preferred materials and that we're reducing negative impacts on human health, whether it's in the supply chain or also with the end user or at the end of life of the product.
So in terms of sustainability initiatives at Burton, it's not necessarily the first thing you'd think of when you think of a snowboard company or action sports, but I feel like in the past few years, I've seen so many positive things from Burton. You know, you guys were really involved in the climate strike, and I've seen a lot of great, you know, efforts you're making in your production. Can you tell me just a little bit about where you guys are on your sustainability journey?
Yeah, so, you know, for us, sustainability is both social and environmental responsibility. And we look at it really comprehensively in terms of our business impacts. There were certainly a number of sustainability initiatives over time. You know, if you look as far back as to the first Burton US Open, we were paying equal prize money to men and women back in the 1980s, which was kind of unheard of in action sports at the time. But the program was really formalized in 2012. Ali Kenny started the Burton Sustainability Program as a passion project at night while she was working on our snowboard product development team. And with the blessing of Donna Carpenter, the owner and chair of our board, they really launched our formal initiatives, starting by looking at, you know, what is most material to our business? What can we have an impact on? And what do we really have a responsibility to take action on as it relates to our industry and our customers? We want to ensure that we're preserving the planet for generations to come, but that we're also protecting those in Burton's communities throughout the world now. And so for us, it's really looking at how can we improve upon all of our business practices so that we're both able to offer these, you know, this technical outdoor gear that helps everyone get outside and, you know, play outside, and especially at a time like this in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic, I think that we're really seeing like how important that is to just, you know, brighten one's soul and kind of provide that health.
So 2012 kind of really shifting and putting more effort. So thinking about that, where you guys can have an impact, you know, and where you really feel that responsibility, what are some of the areas where you guys have focused the majority of your efforts?
So as a brand, a manufacturer, and a retailer, really our biggest impacts occur in the supply chain. We think it's incredibly important to walk the talk. And so a lot of our efforts began in our own operations, things like greening up our headquarters, putting in composting and recycling bins at all stations, ensuring that our employees are able to lead greener lifestyles, and taking care of them with preferred benefits. And that carries over as well to, for instance, our retail operations and events. But we really focus on our supply chain, how we're designing our product and manufacturing it. And our main focus is on chemistry and the climate crisis, as well as women's equity.
You mentioned Donna Carpenter. You know, for you guys to take, you know, a pretty holistic view at your business, you know, starting with employees and headquarters, that's incredible. And then looking at your supply chain, how important is it to have the support of leadership?
Having strong support from top management is incredibly important, and it is something that we're blessed with at Burton. As a privately held company, still owned by the family founders, who are very involved, you know, Donna and her three boys are really pouring their passion into the business, and so we're able to carry out their values, their social and environmental responsibility values, through our work at the company. So I would say that it's one of our biggest assets for our sustainability program is just to have that support. We absolutely look at the business case for sustainability, but we're able to ensure that we're always taking consideration for our impact on communities and the planet.
Just, I've talked to a lot of companies, and the hardest sell sometimes is just getting leadership to understand the value of this, you know, beyond just a nice PR story, that it can impact the bottom line and it is, you know, the right thing to do. So it would seem that having that support makes your job, you know, a little bit easier.
Yeah, and I think that we're increasingly seeing that customers really care, that there is the case as well, that it's no longer seen as exceptional to take steps towards sustainability, that it's really expected by the customer and other stakeholders. And, you know, one of the strengths that's often overlooked in the pitch for a sustainability program is also mitigating risk, right? Like if you're always moving toward best practice, you're really staying ahead of issues, you know, related to negative impacts on people and the environment and regulations globally as well.
What are some things that you are most excited about? What are some of the initiatives, you know, that you've helped to launch or the things that you're working on that you're really excited about?
We have a number of projects that relate specifically to how we're manufacturing our products. And so on the soft goods side, we have a really ambitious goal of 100% blue sign products. So products that are manufactured in a way that conserves natural resources, manufacturing that's more efficient and which has is using chemistry that's only safe for people and for the planet. We're really excited about that work because a lot of us generally aren't aware of kind of the impact of our clothing. So for instance, textile production generates 20% of the world's industrial water pollution. And many of the chemicals that are used in conventional manufacturing are carcinogenic. And the textile mills are generating significant air emissions, and which can lead to respiratory problems and heart disease. And so for us, it's not just looking at the finished product. You know, 90% of the chemistry that's used in garment manufacturing never makes it as an ingredient in the final product that gets into the consumer's hands. So it's incredibly important to us that we're looking at our impact throughout the supply chain and on all the communities that, you know, are prior to making the sale of that product. So that's one thing we're really excited about on the soft goods side. This upcoming winter, 98% of our outerwear is going to be blue sign product, 83% of our backpacks. So we've really come a long way in that regard. And then on the hard goods side, we've been pushing for carbon reduction in the manufacturing of all of our categories. And we have a 3-year goal to have a 20% carbon reduction in our snowboard category. And we are at 19% out of that 20% goal just a year out.
And how are you guys achieving that with the carbon reduction? Is it the materials you're using, where you're producing it? What are some things that go into that?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of all of that. It is the design of the products. It is the materials we're manufacturing them from. It's the practices in manufacturing and the efficiency of those processes. And then it's also looking at renewable energy sources. So just using snowboards as an example, a few ways that we've reduced the carbon footprint include removing the lacquer top coat. So at this point, none of our snowboards have lacquer. And that both reduces toxic chemistry use and the carbon footprint. We also use some bio-based components. So SuperSap resin has a 33% lower carbon footprint compared with conventional epoxies or resins. And then we've also pursued renewable energy at the factories themselves. And we've had two factories install rooftop solar to help power their manufacturing directly as a result of our project. So we're so happy to be partnering on this project with our supply chain as well.
So back to Blue Sign, could you help explain why that's the regulating body that you guys are using?
Yeah, so Blue Sign addresses, specifically works within the textile supply chain. We started partnering with Blue Sign back in 2011 as a brand partner. What Blue Sign does is they essentially approve at a facility level that a manufacturing factory is using practices that are not just within the legal limits of things like, you know, input management and management of air, water, and solid waste emissions, but they're really operating in a way where they're controlling what's coming into the factory. So they're not allowing the most toxic chemistry in the door in the first place. So input stream management, which is really the most effective approach to managing things, that their equipment and processes function in a way that is more efficient, so uses fewer natural resources and energy, that all of the workers are well protected, so there's proper ventilation and personal protective equipment, and then that the emissions, which inevitably some of which go out the door, are filtered, cleaned, managed in a way that's kind of best practice.
You know, you guys are doing so much, but it, you know, it's one thing to make these changes, but it's another to let people know about them and help to change, you know, consumer practices as well. So are you guys doing any work to like educate people on what these things are or, you know, how they can help to make an impact?
It's, as a sustainability professional, it is one of the biggest challenges, I think, of my position is to figure out how to best communicate with consumers about what can be very technical topics and how to do so in this world where, you know, marketing channels are kind of our main opportunity, whether that's a blog post or, an Instagram post. And they're very much short form and short attention span. And so we definitely have difficulty at times, particularly with the complexity of things like Blue Sign. We are increasingly seeking ways to better relate with customers. I think when it comes to something like organic cotton, it's much more mainstream. You see it in the food that you put in your body. And so it kind of carries over naturally to the clothing that you're putting on it as well. And actually this spring, 100% of our t-shirts are now made from organic cotton. And we'll be talking in, through a marketing campaign about what does that mean and why does that matter, and trying to get a little bit closer to the farm and how we're able to speak about and tell the story of where those impacts are really occurring.
That's great. Because I think, that's the important thing is not just, hey, it's another cool product, but for people to really start understanding, stop, pause, think about your purchases, and, really consider what the impact is of everything that we buy. You also mentioned, working with factories to get solar installed and working with all of these different factories to get you guys to have Blue Sign certified products. It seems to me that that would help elevate the industry because that by getting your factories to get to these standards, it can help, other apparel and hard goods producers also get to these standards. Are any of your efforts like intentionally helping to elevate the industry as a whole? Or are you starting to see that impact from your leadership?
Yeah, we really see sustainability leadership as collaboration, as sharing our story, and as trying to have an impact that is greater than our own individual business. So actually, in a lot of the textile manufacturers that we work in, we're quite a small customer compared to some of the other large outdoor and fashion brands. But we have very close and stable relationships with a lot of our partners, which allows us to bring them along on the journey and really partner toward our goals, right? And working with Blue Sign and some others in the industry, we're seeking to expand the scope of the Blue Sign system. We're really actively collaborating through the Outdoor Industry Association. We're also part of the European Outdoor Group. And we work, in a pre-competitive environment with those in our industry to ensure that we're all moving forward together. Because sustainability really should not be competitive unless we're competing to be better for the world and we're moving the goalpost on ourselves. So that's the idea, is that we're all moving forward together.
You mentioned COVID-19. We're in the midst of unprecedented times and businesses are being forced to rethink business as usual. Do you think that this moment can help propel your initiatives, or do you think it will slow them down?
I think that COVID-19 is challenging businesses to become better. And that's in two ways. I think to become more effective, more efficient in their work, to really focus in more on what it is that matters most to their success, but also to become better in the sense of supporting communities, you know, within, you know, whether it's close to their own headquarters or it's their communities as they define them around the world. So I think that this is an incredibly difficult time, and the impacts on individuals, you know, whether you're impacted directly, you know, from health consequences for you or your loved ones, or, you know, employment. I think that it's a really difficult time. And those of us who put in the effort now toward coming out the other side as a more evolved business are going to emerge successful. And so we're so proud to be participating in personal protective equipment efforts. So donating masks, we're actually, we donated 500,000 KN95 masks to the Northeast US, to a set of, I think, 5 hospitals. We're also manufacturing face shields, where we would normally be making R&D bindings in our Burlington facility. And we sent off 1,300 goggles to medical staff all throughout the Northeast as well.
I love seeing so many businesses like shifting to help each other, you know, help people when we need it more than ever. But I agree. I think, you know, as awful as this moment is, I see it as, you know, a pause for the planet. I see it as, you know, people getting off of the hamster wheel and, you know, rethinking how things can be done. And I think a lot of people are questioning their you know, own consumption habits. So my hope of hopes is we'll see a lot of improvements coming out of this from a sustainability standpoint. Couple other questions about Burton. You guys became a B Corp this year, I believe. Can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, what that means?
Yeah, we're super excited. In October, we became a certified B Corporation. So certified B Corps are verified to meet the highest standards across 5 categories. So social and environmental performance, public transparency, legal accountability, and our impact, you know, as well on the community and the workers within our own company. We are legally also a benefit corporation, so it's now part of our charter that we're required to consider our impacts on people and the environment in all of our business decisions up through the board of directors level. We're incredibly proud to join this community. There's over 3,000 B Corporations throughout the world, 150 industries, 71 countries. It's a way that we can collaborate across industries to really help each other identify ways to improve within our own practices, but also to work together for the common good. So whether that's on things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, or the climate crisis, we're able to really come together and act as a community.
Thank you. And I know that's no small feat to become a B Corp. I know that's those aren't easy steps, especially for an established larger company. So definitely kudos to you guys. In terms of other initiatives, you know, I'd love to hear, you know, what is next? You guys, you know, it sounds like you've really looked at your supply chain, your headquarters, and, you know, enabling employees, looking at the chemicals. What's next on the horizon for Burton?
One thing that's very clear to us is the importance of doubling down on our climate actions. So we currently, as I mentioned, we work on hard goods to reduce the carbon footprint of those products. We also look at reductions in our carbon footprint at our global headquarters in Burlington, Vermont, as well as our larger offices in Austria and Japan. And some of our, I think, most important work actually relates to policy advocacy. So using our influence as a brand to, again, have an impact that's greater than ourselves, to say, as an outdoor and snow sports company, the climate crisis is directly impacting our communities, and that we need our elected officials to step up and take action themselves by creating systemic political solutions. So we can take action as an individual company, and we do, but it's not going to meaningfully reduce global emissions. So we're really trying to make sure that we're also quite active in that arena, whether that's Donna, myself, team athletes going into DC annually to do a lobbying trip, or you know, engaging our consumers through things like the Global Climate Strike, but also around getting out to vote. So we offer internally at Burton time off to vote. So whether it's a local election, state or federal, wherever you are in the world, we have that benefit for our employees, and we're always trying to push for that flexibility as well through other employers, and to encourage people to actually ensure that they're engaging in elections.
I love when you said impact greater than ourselves, you know, not just what your company is personally producing. It sounds like you guys are really involved in, you know, raising all ships and like as an industry doing a better job. Are there any other specific things that you guys are doing to kind of help, you know, at a broader level or the whole industry?
Absolutely. We're very actively involved through the Outdoor Industry Association. And in January at Outdoor Retailer, we announced the Climate Action Corps. And so that through the OIA is a set of companies that's coming together to say the climate crisis is one of the biggest issues of our time, and we all need to take collective action in order to make a real impact. Members of the Climate Action Corps are required to measure their footprint, to set targets, and then to take action. As part of that, we're going to be seeking opportunities to engage collaboratively on projects where we can impact, in particular, the supply chain. So finding ways that, you know, we very often have shared suppliers. So how can we use that to help create change in partnership?
You know, a lot of companies, I feel like, are taking, you know, really tackling one piece of sustainability or focusing on one thing. But it sounds like you guys are really taking, you know, a 360 holistic approach within your company and outside of your company. Do you guys have a philosophy, or would you agree with that?
We can't tackle everything at once. but we have tried to identify, you know, the areas that are most important from a few standpoints, you know, certainly in terms of the industry, what's going on in the industry, what is our industry responsible for, looking at what we're actually able to impact as a business of our size, and given our supply chain relationships, for instance. It's also keeping an eye on what matters most to the customer, because it is important, you know, as a business that we're able to at least have some of our work focus on what really is going to resonate with our customers. And that also helps bring them on board. You know, we're hoping to provide some engagement opportunities and education and really help our community to care more about the environment.
So you've talked a lot about the factories, your advocacy work, you know, really empowering people through all parts of the supply chain in the company. You know, something we're starting to hear a lot about is the idea of circular renewables or repairing. Is that something that Burton's starting to pursue?
Yeah, so, you know, I think at the start, building products to last is most important. So we're really doubling down on our initiatives related to product quality, but also considering how we're designing products for their end of life. So whether it's deconstructing them or kind of recycling, for instance. And then we have our warranty program, and we're seeking to double our warranty repair rate between 2017 to 2020, meaning that 40% of the products that come into our repair centers globally actually go out repaired rather than replaced for a warranty claim. Then we get into used products. So we're actually piloting a re-commerce program right now in the US. It's called Pass Along. And so we're taking back used product for an incentive, and seeking to get that out for resale in the coming year. And we really want to make sure that we're offering products that are, you know, at different price points not all consumers are able to afford new products, but also increasingly consumers aren't seeking it out. They're actually more interested in used product or pre-loved, if you will. And so we are piloting that program right now and continually looking to the future for ways that we can really expand on re-commerce and just alternative business models, right? We are looking to decouple resource consumption from, you know, economic growth or business success.
So Jen, thank you so much for your time today, but more so for your commitment to sustainability and all of the fantastic work that you're helping to lead at Burton. So thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to my latest adventure in understanding the story behind the clothes we wear. I truly believe we can have beautiful things without harm.
Listen now or download part two of my conversation with Jen Swain to learn more about her career path, ideas for working in sustainability, and ways that you can help to make an impact personally. To learn more about Burton's commitment to sustainability through their pillars of people, playground, and products, visit burton.com and on Instagram @Burton to see their progress and join in their conversation and fight for climate change.
If you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review. As always, the story continues on our Instagram page @itmatterswear, W-E-A-R. Give us a follow and join the conversation. Join us next time as we continue our exploration behind the scenes and pull the threads on the stories behind our clothing.